listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life broadcast for Wednesday, December 1st already. My name is Michael Kelly and I am here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. Gee, it's December 1st.
It's blowing my mind.
I know. There we go.
As always, I'm glad to have you with me, Dr. Hunter. Welcome to those joining us live. We appreciate your contributions in the chat. We appreciate the dynamic energy you bring to us. And we appreciate you taking the time. And also thank you to those that take the time out of their week to catch up with us in the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. Excuse me, I had to cough. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, you know, we were talking before the broadcast here about, you know, how almost fatalistic things feel at times and how, you know, dark things can be. And, you know, Dr. Hunter, you were just making some great points about the need to just focus on hope.
Well, Michael, I've had some clients lately and watching people, and I don't think it's exclusive to my community. I think I look around and I see it everywhere, is people seemingly in a bubble, you know, seemingly a lot more selfishness, that not paying attention to their surroundings and so on. And what is that? So I really had a good long meditation about it, actually, for a few days, and I think it's because they don't see a future. And I really have come to my perception of when people feel a future and they're working toward things, and it's not just about a goal, it's they have something to look forward to, you know, that there's this movement. I think we all tend to be a little bit more interactive. Mm-hmm. But what is the root of that is hopefulness. You know, where's the hope? And look, now we have Omicron. I tell you, I can't say that without laughing. It just feels so Star Wars. It's I don't know who comes up with these names, but
well, they're the pretty the Greek alphabet. We've been flipping through the different letters of the Greek alphabet with you know, Delta, et cetera. They skipped a couple because they skipped new and NU because it sounds too much like NEW. Oh. And they skipped Z or G, I'm not sure the pronunciation, XI, another word. And that is because it's a very common name in the world. So they thought that would be rather unkind.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's
politically correct.
Omicron. So
Omicron.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, everywhere you look, and I don't think it's just a matter of watching the news. I think you go through your daily life, and there's a stressor.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time I think we all try to move forward, you know, we're kicked on back. You know, the restrictions mm-hmm. and that doggedness that's there, and it feels heavy. And so where's the hope? Well,
yeah.
I really am I'm a true believer that hope lives within our own spirit. I really believe that. And it's that sense of spirit. Now, a lot of people have different perceptions. Some people say give it to God, you know.
Yeah.
And they have their religions. And okay, whatever, you know, whatever venue you use, that kind of maintains that hopefulness of things improving and moving forward. Mm-hmm. The only time I kind of get a little bit antsy about that is when people have that I'm special thing, my God's better than your God, and, you know, I deserve to be, because I think we're all in this together. And I think what the world is teaching us right now, Mother Nature is teaching us, life is teaching us, is no one is greater or lesser than anybody else. We're all in this together. You know, in BC in the last couple of weeks, we've had very affluent farms, families, communities wiped out. And
it's been brutal. I know.
You know, you go into instant homelessness. And as it turns out, for a lot of affluent homes, mudslides are not insured. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like that starting over, your life's work. So there's, and yeah, the communities do rally together. But then what? You know, where do you go from here once that big, you know, rescue rush is over? Then everybody's back to floundering. And because this has been happening repeatedly, and I think to cultures that and communities that have managed to do fairly well in the last, let's say, 50 years, it's kind of tipping, you know, tipping that teeter-totter a little bit. So we're going through this phase of restructuring our psyches, you know, how, and really, yeah, okay, this haves and have-nots, but more have not. And we realize we're in this together. So how are we going to do that? How are we as communities? I know here, way more homelessness. That's, you know, whether it's the U.S., Canada, United Kingdom, any country in the world has its homeless populations. Well, you know, there's no other new world to go conquer and put them all. So we're a society that's now working to, you know, carve out ways and means of taking care of everyone, mm-hmm. and hopefully without this righteous attitude, because it can happen to anybody.
That's right. And, you know, I think it was said long before the good book as it's known, quote unquote, was written, the Bible. But judge not lest ye be judged is a principle that goes back prior to Christianity. Yeah. And it is a fundamental truth in that, you know, it's important to be self-aware. It's important to be reflective. And it's important to also think about how you're deriving hope, because I think you're right in a lot of ways. A lot of people have lost hope. And I think that leads to a lot of, you know, strange things. Now, my personal belief, the thing that gets me through the day, the thing that gives me hope, is that one day NASA will stop lying about the ice wall and the flat Earth, which is also hollow. I'll send you the TED Talk on this. The hollow flat Earth, once all that conspiracy comes down, we're going to be a truly free people. So that gives me hope. Now, of course, I'm being facetious. I'm joking around. But I do think that a lot of people find comfort in conspiracy because it gives them almost a path, right? If only this secret behind-the-scenes organization could be defeated, then we'd be free and then we would have a much better life. It gives them hope or something.
I agree with you, Michael.
You know, religion does a lot of the same.
Yeah. And, but those are external hopes. And,
right.
And yeah, I totally agree with you. People latching on to something because now they have something that they believe in to fight for, a cause to fight for.
And it feels good to fight for a cause. It feels good to be the underdog, you know, I think especially in our modern culture. And it feels good to have that righteous feeling that, you know, hey, wake up, sheeple. We know what's going on and you don't. Now, you know, I'm not to say that there aren't the occasional conspiracies that you know, obviously, I think the most famous one that everybody can kind of agree on is JFK. But, you know, there's a line. And I think the old adage, be open-minded, but not so much that your brain falls out. So we have to be careful about, you know, what kind of sacrifices are we making ethically to have hope? Because a lot of people, well, let me say this. I recently have been listening to a history podcast, History Unplugged, but it has been talking about the New Age of Discovery, and in it they also talked about the pivotal year 1492, in that Europe was largely stagnating. There was a lack of hope. There was a lack of optimism about Europe's future. There was a lack of dynamic creativity and energy. Then this word comes back of new continents, and it begins to spread, and it kind of revitalizes it. It gives people hope. They have hope for a new world, a new frontier. And in so doing, they also ended up causing a lot of pain. And they disregarded the needs of many for their own hope for a world that they envisioned. So when we talk about together, Dr. Hunter, when you spoke to togetherness, that's what I took away from it, is that we shouldn't be judgmental. We should not look down on others. We should realize that we are all in this together, and I mean all in this together. And we have to safeguard our hope, as the inner oracle cards say, as we fall on that card from time to time. We need to safeguard our hope, and we need to make sure it is from an honest place. And, you know, there are a lot of things to be hopeful for. And it doesn't have to be something more base and tribalistic. But go ahead.
You know, I think that, for one thing, I'm not a big fan of comparisons. However, if I think, okay, I'm faced with some challenges, I look around and I say, whoa, people got a lot worse than I do. You know, and it's keeping perspective that, and even when it comes to pain, and I'm not dismissing anybody's pain, but when I went through in childhood, it wasn't a pleasant time in my life. How do you survive that? For me, and again, this is just me, how do people survive a Holocaust? How do people survive a war? And I took lessons from that. And that, again, is looking at the outside world. And what is my part in all of that? Well, if they can get through that, I can get through this. Do you see? And again, not to compare, because it's not comparing whose pain is bigger or greater. For me, it's about getting perspective. And that's, to me, in my spirit. I know it's intellectual and it's a viewpoint that comes from thinking, but it's also that feeling. And, you know, as we do, we have rough times, we have difficult times, but boy, I'm not sleeping in a tent out in some park trying to get through the night when it's freezing cold. So that's about counting my blessings. Now, where do I want to go from here and move forward? Well, you have to have hopefulness that tomorrow is different. Now, I don't know if it's going to be better, but I certainly know it's going to be different.
Right.
And it's, even if it's what store I go to for, you know, some groceries, or, you know, who you encounter on the street, you know, it's still going to be different. And different makes me curious, to see, and that curiosity comes from my hopefulness. And I know it might sound strange to put those two things together, but curiosity and hopefulness.
No, not at all.
Hopefulness makes me curious, and as long as I have curiosity, I'm hopeful. So, and
yeah,
I'm like everybody else. I would love to win the lotto, and I don't get it when somebody. I just read in the news this woman had won the lotto 3 times in 10 years, and I'm going, what kind of karma is that? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and let's also address that, you know, hope is different for a lot of people, you know.
It is.
You mentioned curiosity and hope being enjoined, and I completely agree. I think that the fact that there is so much to explore, so much to learn, both about ourselves, about what it is to be human, to be alive, in addition to simply physically exploring this world, seeing some of the most, you know, beautiful vista places on Earth and seeing interesting things. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to experience, and curiosity is wonderful for that. And that can give you hope for a future that's worth living. Hope is just in that something that you want, something that's going to be fulfilling is on the horizon. Happiness is on the horizon. And happiness means different things to different people. It is why, you know, one person's hope and one person's dream is another person's nightmare. Go ahead.
No.
I was just going to say it's also why we need to just be mindful and be self-aware when it comes to, because when we talk about hope, mm-hmm. what we're talking about our desires for the future, our hope for a better future, and a lot of times that future looks different to different people, I think is what I'm getting at.
And even then, what we think is a really, oh man, bad case scenario actually is a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, but I think that I had a thought, Michael, it went away. It'll come back. Sorry.
No, happens to me all the time.
No, you know. And it is this, I think, what we're all wanting in our lives, at least in my view. How do I say this? I believe happiness is peace and that inner peace and being okay with who I am and my place in the world. And I think everybody has a place. And I think when we become unhappy, it's when we're trying to get into a place that's not ours. You know, it's like square pegs in round holes. I'm happy to have my place in things. And but I'm at peace. Yeah, I'm at peace with life, and I understand, and for the grace of age, you know, I've learned this, that there's a lot of organics at work here. You're young, you want to create a nest, you want a family, and moving, you know, forward, and wanting to create that. And when that's done, then what? You see, there's these phases in life. But what keeps you going through all of that? It's hopefulness, you know, the hope for love, that hope for the experiences of life. And some people, again, are just trying to pay the rent and get through the day, and they're not thinking about all the other stuff. They just want to get some groceries on the table. So that's relative also. But it's, are you at peace with your own curiosity, your own innovation, your own skills, your own abilities, your own capacities.
Well, accepting who you are.
And even in the face of a challenge. You know?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that last part, because I was just thinking, as you were talking about happiness, that happiness is an unusual thing, isn't it? I mean, what is happiness? Happiness is so different. Mm-hmm. For me, if I wasn't challenged, and if I, you know, honestly, if I couldn't have a good old-fashioned argument, by which I mean like a nice spirited debate, I don't mean a, you know, you want to hurt somebody kind of thing, but I love when somebody challenges me on something that I think is right. So I love having a debate with somebody who knows what they're talking about, who thinks differently than me, and even better, has a good point. You know, and sometimes I can, you know, there's other points I think need to be brought into context, but I love it when somebody brings a good point to me and a good argument that has an opposing viewpoint on a topic. And so that makes me happy, even though I'm, you know, engaged, even though I'm somewhat combative, even though I, you know, to an outside person, it might look, well, I wouldn't say antagonistic, but, you know, not everybody likes that kind of discourse. Not everybody likes that kind of spirited back and forth. I love it. I love a good challenge. I love a good debate. And I love it when people, you know, challenge my presumptions. And I like that. I like that.
As long as you're willing to say, okay, good point.
Yeah.
I have to reframe my thinking, you know, because there's a point when you got to let that go, too, because you can't be combative just because it's entertainment, because it's entertaining at other people's expense.
Well, this is something that it dawned on me at some point in my life that not everybody enjoys this. So I had to try to rein it in and be, you know, conscientious of others. But my point is,
that's exciting, though. That's how we keep learning.
Right.
I'm with you, Michael. I think there's all kinds of, there's those little rushes and happiness and highlights in a day versus what drives us to get through another day. You know, that hopefulness or that energy, that frequency of what makes you move forward to even want to have that kind of conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it's because there's a lot of futility happening right now and a lot of defeatedness and here we go again. They're pushing this down our throats. Here we go again. And to me, it's for the most part, again, when I look around and say, well, everybody has to go through this. It's not like they're targeting me personally, you know,
right.
And it is what it is. And ride the wave, you know, just let's all ride it out.
Well,
and there's, let's say, for instance, when it comes to COVID, it is a virus. It's always going to mutate. Like intellect and just sensibility is going to tell you that. And it doesn't go away in a day. It's here. And of course, you know, the news likes to inflate a lot of things and people get paranoid and they start putting on restrictions and oh my God, here we go again. But I'm sitting back saying, yeah, okay, due diligence, carry on about your life.
Right.
You know?
Well, you can't live in fear, but you have to take precautions, you know? So, you know,
I don't understand why people weren't taking precautions before COVID.
Well,
like,
I mean,
wash your hands.
Oh, well, that's a given. Wash your hands well. That should be just basic hygiene. Face masks, you know, being a predominant, you know, decor. I appreciate a world where that will not be as commonplace, but I have no problem with it.
If ever I was on a plane or in an airport, I had nose filters and a mask. And people would look at me funny, and I don't care. Because I know this is a breeding ground for disease. Because every time I've been on an airplane, within 3 days of getting home, I'm sick. You know? So.
Well, and, yeah, I guess that's, you know, that's something that you kind of learn from. Now, me, I've never personally had that happen. Yeah. I never associated flying with getting sick. I never really got sick around that. So I never had that drive or had that issue. I think.
But even going into a hospital, where is the best place to get sick?
Oh, yeah.
Into a hospital
for
without
sure.
The sick people.
Exactly.
So,
I mean,
wash
that's
your
why.
Hands, wear a mask. Don't touch anything.
Right. Just, you know.
But I've been doing that for, you know, going to the doctor's office for whatever reason.
I think depending on the situation and. Well, first off, don't just touch a bunch of stuff and then touch your mouth and your, you know, nose and eyes. Just be mindful of stuff like that. But my point is basically this. I would probably not go to the extent that you do, Dr. Hunter, in terms of those things. But I definitely think it's warranted in many situations when you have a very easily communicated disease. And I think it's a small ask. But that being said, I do look forward to a time where it's not going to be as prevalent a concern.
I agree.
And, you know, we've dealt with new diseases and new viruses all throughout human history. I think that, you know, there
again,
are...
Again, that's seeing the bigger picture.
Right. And coming back to, you know, how I found hope and pleasure and happiness and, you know, combative discourse from time to time. Not heavily, but, you know, just kind of fun back and forth. I will say this, that I, you know, kind of scoffed at people that claimed... medical exemption from vaccination. Well, unless it's a, you know, person with an immune system. But I thought that a vast majority were kind of using it as an out. Exactly. And I have been corrected, you know, on that regard for by some, just reading what people have said, or, you know, people who have laid their personal recommendations from their doctors, and, you know, they have a good reason. And, you know, then you have to consider the fact that, well, what's for these kind of people that you want to have a large percentage of vaccinations of herd immunity? But then you have the problem that people derive hope from not having to get a vaccination. Well, and then there you have a backlash. You have a problem. Everybody has different views of what the world should be and derive hope from different things. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just come together on the things we do agree on and focus on that hope for a better future, where we work together instead of constantly attack one another?
I think this is where we're in a big social shift.
Yeah.
And that shift is the lessons. And these lessons aren't easy. They're not easy because of the way we've been, you know, living previously. And, you know, yeah, our goals meant more to us than, you know, the day-to-day stuff. I've heard this in many testimonials of people who've lost their homes now, and they all say the same thing. You know, it used to be, oh, I run out of this and I have to go to the store, and that was a big deal for the day. And now it's, I can't find anything in the store, and how do we get milk and bread? And we have no home to go to, and I'm appreciating that I have the clothes on my back because that's all I got. You know,
yeah,
that's all I have.
And
go ahead.
I was just going to say, that is one of the unfortunate ironies of life, is that sometimes it takes going through immense pain to make you able to appreciate immense joy. There's something about, you know, I think that a big problem that we have today is that, again, I know we kind of differ on this, Dr. Hunter, but I think boredom of an affluent society of the Western world, I think boredom has led to listlessness. And I think it's because things are in many ways very easy for the majority. I know that there are margins that are not attended to, that people fall through the cracks and they shouldn't. But for the majority, life is easier than it ever has been. People put fewer work hours in than they ever did because technology productivity is enhanced with fewer hours, and we're able to do the same or more productive work. But life is easier for the average person in the first world now than it has ever been for any human. And it's a bored, affluent society where it kind of starts to get into trouble, I think.
Well, in a lot of ways, I don't disagree with you, Michael, because I think that's where people look to be entertained. And
right,
if the entertainment isn't there, then there's these withdrawals, and the withdrawals causes that anger, frustration, and lashing out. And because to me, art is my savior,
sure,
you know, and that self-expression. But a lot of people don't have those hobbies or those outlets. And we sure noticed it when we had, you know, a couple of weeks ago, all the floods. A lot of our phones were out. And I could manage through the internet to let my family know my phone's not working. So, because a lot of the cell towers were down, the companies had shut them down in certain areas, which is interesting in itself. But, and a lot of the networks were overloaded. So there's no phones. So you don't have a phone, then there's your entertainment, you know. And there's, for most people, that's their access to social media. That's their access to everything. And, there was such backlash about that, and frustration and anger. And I read on our forums, local community forums, and I think, wow, what if there was really a crisis? You know, like, it's just a phone. Now, I know people are in their own predicaments, and need some kind of communication. But again, what's relative? And I'm watching now with my grandkids and entering into, you know, having phones and access to texting and chatting with their friends. Now, the worry, of course, is getting carried away with that. And any kinds of addiction for entertainment is the dopamine in the brain, and it does a dance with the serotonin,
right.
And all these neural pathways begin to change. My neural pathways were set differently because I'm learning cursive writing for 4 hours a day in school, and of course nobody knows how to cursive write anymore. It's printing or it's computers.
Right.
And that's a whole different neural pathway.
Well, let me just say this. They forced us to write in cursive in fifth grade on everything, and they said that we had to do it because we're going to use it in high school and beyond. I have not written in cursive on a recurring basis since fifth grade.
Well, again, it's how our brains are conditioned and formulated.
Mm-hmm.
I had to recondition my brain in different ways to use computers. Well, young people don't have that issue now. They just dive in. So their brains aren't necessarily adapted to repeated function of practicing ABCs and cursive writing, you know, for pages and pages and hours. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a different kind of brain activity.
It's a different skill set.
What we all have in common, though, is that we're spiritual beings in a human body, learning to be human. We're all
right.
Learning what that is.
And finding
ways to be creative in this experience. When we take this lifetime personally, we get into trouble.
Yeah.
You can't take it personally. It's not a personal issue. What I mean is it's not individualized to you being the only human being. We're all in this together in that way. But we're all in the same, you know what I'm trying to say, Michael. We're all the same in that. We're all part of the cosmos. We're all here trying to figure it out and find our own extensions. So when you say about, you know, a very indulged society that's got lots of time and they're bored, I think there's a good population that is that, which others are having to, you know, occupy their minds with other things. Hey, look, I'm really fortunate. I have a place to rent. I have shelter, you know, got enough money for groceries, and I get through a day, you know.
Right.
I'm good. And just because I don't own a property doesn't mean anything, but other people would say, well, if you don't own a property, and I'm thinking, yeah, but yours could be wiped out in a day in a flood, I can move. See, it's all perspective. But we're all in this together, people. What keeps us going? It's our hope that we will continue to grow and evolve and have those experiences that we're destined to have. And I mean destined in both by your own individualized pathway as well as what you input to that pathway.
Yeah,
and if
absolutely.
There's things you don't know how to do, then you have to enlist help. And you got to be okay to say, I don't know how to do this. And either learn or get someone to help you out and hopefully, you know, pay them. But I'm just saying that I think that everything is relative, but the root thing, and again, I go down to, and I'm going to harp on this one because Dr. Kelly's nine principles of belief nail it. And in there is that hopefulness. You know, it's just, we're all in this together. Nobody's better or worse than anybody else. But we have to keep spreading that word. And how do you spread that word? Is you become a living light in that and be that example. Don't let anybody shake you from your foundation. Because I think that's when folks go into them esteem, they get lost, they compare in negative ways, and they lose their hopefulness.
And that is a really dark and difficult world to live in, one that doesn't have hope.
Oof.
It's bleak, and it leads to a lot of dark things.
But yes.
I have appreciated this conversation, and I also have a lot of hope that there are many days ahead filled with happiness. That's really all I want. I want the knowledge that there is the capacity to have happiness in the future. So I'm hopeful for that, and I'm hopeful that part of that happiness is going to be derived from a continually evolving human society and evolving my own self-awareness, awareness of what it is to be human, and awareness of self so that I can, you know, truly accept who I am and be a positive force for this world. So, yeah, that's my hope.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've appreciated this conversation. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Everybody, just hang in there. Keep being curious.
Oh,
Jamil wrote this in the post that Lewis Carroll said, curiouser and curiouser. Yeah, yep. I love that.
Absolutely.
It is a very curious world.
It is. A curiosity is a, you know, surefire key to happiness. Yes. Having a curious, active mind is going to help you have a active and happy life. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to give back to the world, to enjoy the world, and to experience life. So, yeah.
There we go.
Go out there and be curious.
So this is when we shift gears. And for those who are new to the program or new in the archives, Michael draws one of our inner oracle self-discovery cards designed by Dr. Doug Kelly. And I pull a supporting tarot card, and we see what they have to say.
Do the old 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we already have some names for cards this evening, so we're going to go ahead and get started right away. And Jamil, I have you up first. Jamil, I pulled wild card number 3, blocks. Always fun to start off with a wild card. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
Got the 2 of clubs, that's a 2 of wands, Jamil, in support of that. And what I'm inclined to say here is an interesting take on this is you can still keep yourself busy with other things if you're blocked in one way. In other words, you're moving forward, you have a goal, but there are little blocks. You can still keep busy with other things until those blocks come off or come down, and which may mean you've gathered more information, you have learned something different, you say, oh, I have to shift this or change it. So it's keep the energy moving, keep looking forward, and work with the blocks in this case. Work with them instead of, you know, just dropping them or, you know, throwing your hands up kind of thing. So keep your energy moving. Keep your mind busy. Keep learning. And then you understand what those little blockages are and work with them. That's right. My take on it.
Good take. Good take. Jamil said that he'd gotten this card very recently, too. So interesting repetition there.
Yeah.
All right. And we have Dr. Raven next.
No, I think we have Edward.
Edward. You are darn right, aren't you?
I think so. Dr. Edward's
gosh.
Here.
Well, you're getting this one, Dr. Edward. Let's see if you've gotten this one before. Number 39, education.
Good one.
Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Edward, I got magician in support of that, the Major Arcana. And I feel like you're going to get an opportunity with what you've learned and what you continue to learn. I think an opportunity is going to come your way, and you might get an invitation to do something, to participate in some way, So you're in a transformation. I say, you know, pay attention. Give some attention to this. And I think a door could be opening. I really do. So take heed. You're onto something. Just may not have manifested quite yet. So now we have Dr. Raven.
All right. See, I was right. I just was early.
I'm trying to keep it in order, Michael. That's all.
Oh, you're doing good.
Hey, you've called me out on it, too, and I'm skipping a few people, so that's good. We got each other's back here.
That's right. That's right. And I encourage everyone out there to call me out if I'm wrong. All right. Dr. Raven, I have number 22, think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Wow,
I really like that one.
That's a powerful message, Raven. And it's supported by the Three of Clubs. So that Three of Wands. Now, how I see this, and what first comes to my mind, and boy, I've been in this situation so many times, where I have something in mind to do for myself, but there's other folks who think there's different ways or to do it better, or no, I can't. And I don't like people telling me what decisions to make for my life. You know, I don't mind being told what to do if it's a task or a job. Just don't tell me what to do making decisions for my life. So that's kind of where I'm going with this feel of this message, that you have a goal in mind or things that you'd like to do, but you might be feeling a little bit held back. So maybe take inventory of that and kind of balance that out in your mind and keep moving forward and always stay true to your own dream. I'm not saying kick other people to the curb. I'm just saying that there's always a way to work it out so you can stay true to yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, I empathize with that statement very much.
Yeah.
But good message. All right. Dr. Jeff, I have number 37, groundedness. Let's see. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts, or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Well, Jeff, I got the Six of Hearts. That's a Six of Cups for those who want the tarot interpretation. And I'm going to go with family here. And I think it is new views, new ideas, you know, perhaps new routines or rhythms, and just staying grounded in that. But I feel like it's, as soon as I tune into that, it's like my nervous system kind of flares up a little bit, like I'm a little bit on edge, maybe too much information coming at me too much. And so it's just, you know, go with your heart, stay grounded, and you'll breathe easier. Gee, I hope that makes sense to you, Jeff. I know you've been through some changes recently, so maybe that's how it all plays in. You might be on a little bit of overload, and that's okay, because just stay true to your heart. You know, you've got lots of loved ones and good support around you, so that's where I want to go with that.
Very good message.
All right. Kevin made a comment in the chat, and he's hoping that what we draw will help him tie some information and events together for him, Michael. So let's see what we can do for Dr. Kevin.
Well, Dr. Kevin, I am curious to see how this fits in, but hopefully this resonates in your current situation. I have number 44, attitude and disposition.
Okay.
Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Mm. Okay, Kevin. So the first card, now I am doing a little extra here to help maybe make some sense of things. The first is the Four of Spades, and what I want to say is lie low. That just says take a breath. You know, it's really take a reprieve for a moment to observe. So then I want to know, okay, as a result of that, how is this going to unfold? So I drew another card, and it's the Two of Diamonds. And that says some balance will be restored. Now, the value for value, there could be some money involved in this also, finances, and but there could be opportunity here. So then, as a third card, for what is the result of this energy that Kevin is going through? And it's an Eight of Cups, the Eight of Hearts. So this is a time of replenishment. And so to back up, to say at this moment, sometimes when we're in a moment where we've kind of been thrown off our game a little bit, we have to take a breath, just take a break. And it's not about, you're responding healthfully to it by taking that break. So you can digest and work through your emotions and your thoughts about that. And so now you're in balance. So using that balanced energy, you can begin to replenish your energy and your perspective and say, you know, it's what I said earlier. Sometimes even negative things can have that silver lining, you know, that, now I'm not saying that's good in the case of illness or you know, the loss of people or loved ones and so on. That's not where I'm going with this. It's more in terms of yourself and what you're learning. It's this rebuilding of yourself right now. I hope that makes sense, Kevin.
Yeah. All right. And I think our final card of the evening is Dr. Bridget.
Oh, Bridget. Nice to have you here, Bridget.
All right. And Dr. Bridget, I pulled a good one. I've seen come up a couple times recently, but it is number one, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by the choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes, as they are vital to your growth, while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Bridget, I got Temperance. Now, as I'm seeing this, what I want to say is we all have a moment or a week. Oh, sometimes we have a month where it's just regaining our center. So perfection is about that. It's just taking a minute to find your center of things and not get lost in the other rhetoric. And sometimes that's our own dance with our own thinking, right? Temperance is water. So think about that flow. And sometimes things get diverted in certain ways, but you just have to go with the flow. So I want to say to you, patience, just being patient with yourself. And I also want to say, don't be hard on yourself when you make errors. I don't know why I'm compelled to say that to you. I stepped out of bounds yesterday on a situation with a friend. And I had to own it today, say, you know what, I wasn't thinking. I was completely in a moment. So I have to tell you that I did this or I said this, and I'm really sorry. I hope it doesn't cause backlash. And thankfully the friend said, boy, do we all make mistakes. And then she told me that her husband recently had a private email he was sending to somebody and accidentally sent it to all the coworkers. And I said, well, what I did is not that bad. So, you know, and I mean, it's small in the scheme of things, but we don't like to, but we got to own it. And you got to, in owning it, it frees you. Do you see? So if we make an error in a judgment or anything, you know what I'm saying. It's just be patient, be tolerant, and return back to the self. Something I'd like to remind everybody of right about now is calling your spirit back. And what I was taught by an elder, an indigenous elder many years ago, and I know I've talked about it on the program before, Michael, but indulge me.
Of course.
Is if I'll explain more in a future program. But for the moment, when your mind is doing a lot of, you know, mental stuff, and we get lost or feeling insecure or afraid, call your own name out loud and do that at least 4 times. And so in my case, I would say, Vicky. Vicky. And I'm calling my spirit back. And yeah, is there psychology to this? Absolutely. Yeah. But it's also energy. And you're calling your own energy back into your body. And bring that right down into your diaphragm, right into your center. And just taking that breath. So that's called calling your spirit back. So your spirit's not flying out all over there, out in the ethers, and, you know, you're all not all messed up. And that also, when you bring your spirit back, you're restoring your own hopefulness. You're restoring your own sensibilities, your own perfection, your own groundedness, and all the other things that we've talked about, you know, especially drawing cards, and through this whole program, for that matter. So I can't tell you how much that has affected me in my life, and passing that on to others. It's call your spirit back by saying your name out loud. I mean, not in the mall or buying groceries. That would be weird.
Well,
but even,
I mean,
if you do it, if you're in public,
funny too,
just do
so.
It quietly.
You know, I was going to say, I have a similar version that I've done, although I didn't realize I was calling my spirit back at the time. But sometimes I'd do something stupid, or I'd be acting unreasonable, and I'd just say, Michael, 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 what are you doing, guy?
Yeah, I know. It's a good one. But that's what you're doing. You're acknowledging yourself, and you're bringing your energy back into that one place, and that's your center.
Right.
And you say, okay, I got this. So.
And, yeah, good message. Good message. And I'm happy to hear that that the cards we pulled and your message for Dr. Kevin was able to resonate as well, it looks like. So, yeah, happy that we were able to connect with some people and get some people thinking about what's going on in their lives, and hopefully, you know, give you a little hope for positive direction. But, well, I think it's come to about that time of the evening, Dr. Hunter.
It is. You know, I'm glad for this conversation tonight, Michael. Thank you. And thanks to everybody in the chat who's joined us and those in the archives. These are trying times, Michael.
Oh,
they're
God.
Very
yeah.
trying times. But we have to remind ourselves about who we are. You know, who am I? Who are we together? And just bring it into a center point, one step in front of the other, and we're all just doing our best. So hang in there.
Yeah, good advice. Hang in there, and, you know, we're human beings. We survive.
But don't let anybody push you around.
No.
I had to throw that in.
Also good advice. Also, be your own human. Be your own person. Don't be somebody else's version of what they think you should be.
That's right.
You know, so that's a good message. So
that's why I'm not married.
Oh, I don't think that's a prerequisite. But
I'm kidding.
Well,
anyway,
I was going
great
to
program, Michael. Yeah, we'll be back next week for sure.
Absolutely. We're going to have another great topic. And well, I again, thank you for being here, Dr. Hunter. Thank you for everybody joining us. I hope that you take the time to join us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.